you better come on and get saved. Jesus died may be saved. Amen. Jesus came to save the sinners from their sin. Jesus died. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. My sheep come upon shot.
Let him come in.
You got to let him in.
Yes.
You got to repent. Jesus.
God,
so many of them in church playing instrument and living in sin. So many in church had preaching the word and in sin. So many in church directing the choir and in sin. Lesbians in the pulpit. Lesbians calling themselves prophetess.
Yes,
sister beating the drum. Sister playing the guitar. Sister playing the organ. The death coming. The black train still coming. I don't care what you're doing.
Hallelujah.
I don't care what you say. The death train is coming. Can't nobody stop the death train. Can't nobody stop that. Because that's death.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why the Bible said. That's why the Bible said, praise the Lord. Oh, death, where thou stand? Oh, grave, where's your victory? See, when you die in Jesus, you're going to be with Jesus. One thing about when you see when you die in sin, when you die in sin, y'all help me now. When you die in sin, saints, ladies and gentlemen, there's too many hypocrites in the church. There's too many people playing church.
Amen.
The Bible said they draw nigh me with their mouth, had to pray me with their lips, but their heart is far. They're going through the motion, they're performing, they're putting on a show, but their heart not right. They got a, you know, one thing about a sinner know if you real or not. You can't fool folks. They know you ain't real. Women up there directing the choir with tight pants on. Look like they're going to bust out them.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. The blouse so tight. Look like the breath going to bust out. Good God. In the church, there is no respect of the house of God. In the church, you ought to have some kind of respect. Have for the house of God.
Yes,
if you,
God.
But the black train still coming.
Yes,
y'all can talk about me. Y'all can talk about my wife. But the black train still
coming.
You can say what you want to. I know you're going to dress like you want to dress. Don't care what me and my wife say. I know you're going to do what you want to do. But there is a plague called hell.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
There's a plague called hell.
And
Lord knows self without measure.
Amen.
There's a plague called hell where you're going to spend eternity. And when judgment comes, and when you stand before the judge, the Bible said death and hell going to be plucked it up. Ain't that something? You mean tell me after I went to hell and born, I got to go to another place, wasn't that? That's true.
Amen.
You're going to stand before Jesus, and then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Can you picture a great big lake full of fire, just burning and burning and burning?
Yes.
Now you can't burn up because it's your soul burning, not your body. Your body going back to the dust. God don't want your body. The Bible said flesh and blood shall not enter in.
Amen.
Your soul going to burn.
Amen.
Your soul going to burn.
Lord.
The black train coming. It's on its way now.
Amen.
Somebody going to die before I leave this studio. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody going to die for Wednesday. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody going to die for the month. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But when you die, you don't have to spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
You can be saved.
Yes, you can.
According to the scripture, you can repent of your sins.
Yes, Lord.
Get baptized in the name of Jesus. Oh, I know they're fighting it. Oh, I know the devil got these apostolic preachers scared. They got them scared. They won't teach Jesus not the motor. They done tucked down. They won't preach Jesus only like they used to. They done tucked down, but the black train still coming. And the Bible said, if judgment begin at the house, judgment going to begin at the house of God. The black train coming.
Black train coming.
Hallelujah. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for you, baby.
Thank God for you, too.
Praise the Lord.
Baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence, speaking in tongues.
Yes.
Learn how to live this holy and sanctified life.
Yes.
I love Jesus and I won't take it back. We love y'all and we crying out for your soul. Come on, get saved.
Come on, get saved.
It's a good life. I'm happy. I'm enjoying Jesus every day.
Come on, get saved.
God bless you in Jesus.
Come on, get saved.
Thank
when the black train come,
amen.
Let the black train come.
Amen.
Say, come on, train. I know I'm going to die. I'm going to be ready.
Amen.
Will you be ready?
Hey, hallelujah.
Will you be ready?
Hey, hallelujah.
And you preacher, quit lying and telling these folk they can't be perfect. Perfect means blameless.
Amen.
Perfect means complete.
Yes, Lord.
Perfect means, that's all perfect means. Quit lying, talking about ain't nobody perfect. You say that because you in sin.
Amen.
These old half-living, homongous, hallelujah, hoish preachers are shame. But the black train coming.
Yes,
you got to change to be saved, too.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
One thing about the Lord Jesus, he fire.
Yes.
The Lord is fire.
Amen.
He just, he lovable.
Amen.
He cares. He long-suffering.
Yes,
all you got to do, come on through the Bible.
Lord.
Repent of your sins. Get baptized in Jesus' name. I love y'all. Praise the Lord. God bless y'all.
Jesus,
the black train coming.
Yes, Lord.
The black train coming.
Coming.
The black train coming. The black train coming. God bless y'all. The black, hallelujah. Get ready for the train. Amen. It's all coming. Get ready for the train. Amen. It's all coming. Amen. Jesus' name. Woo!
You've been listening to God's Spoken Word with Prophet Johnson Lee Simpson, Jr. and Sister Luella Simpson, Trailblazers for Jesus. You can correspond with them at P.O. Box 8321, Alexandria, Louisiana 71301, or phone them at 919-394-8262. Be sure to join us next time for God's Spoken Word.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
I'm just trying to lay it out. Praise God. Then I say, and not only if they look at your disciplined worship, if your worship is disciplined, another way they can measure you and look, praise God, by disciplined Bible study. Amen. Now that doesn't mean coming out to Bible study every Wednesday. I know some folks say, well, that means that he must want us to come out to Bible study every Wednesday. No! I can go to every house. Everybody in here, everybody got a Bible. There is a Bible somewhere in your house. And all of these folks with all of these smart devices, they got Bibles on them. Well, I know they there. I say Bible study. Read it. Study the Word. Meditate on the Word of God. That's all I'm talking about. Praise God. Don't let a day go by where you don't at least sit down and try to read something out of the Bible. Because if you read something out of the Bible and you let what you read work on you, somebody gonna see it. You allow the words to work on that attitude, somebody gonna see that attitude has changed. So discipline Bible study. I think number five was the disciplined prayer life. Man, we have to pray. Pray without ceasing. We have to pray. Amen. We have to pray. Paul summed up when he put us, he gave us seven things. When we talk about putting on the whole armor of God, and he said, praying. In other words, that means that we have to continue to pray. Praise God. When we wake up, we ought to tell Jesus, thank you for tapping me on the shoulder to let me get up today. When I get to work, God, thank you for protecting me as I travel up and down the dangerous highway. God allow you to work all day. You ought to get up and say, Lord, thank you for allowing me to work. You didn't even allow an accident to happen while I was working. Praise God. So discipline prayer life. Number six, I believe, was the discipline family life. Was that number seven? That's seven. Thank you. I'm glad y'all count. Discipline family life. And we use Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, as our launch for that. When we said that, when Joshua said, if y'all want to serve all them other gods, I don't care. I don't care. I can't speak for Deacon Robinson's family. I can't speak for Reverend Phillips' family. I can't speak for Deacon Antoine. Amen. This is what Joshua was saying. He said, if you want to serve the gods on the other side of the flood, yeah. Yeah. If you you want to serve the God that's in the land where you are, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Hitchabites, and all the rest of them, I better not say that. But he said, as for me and my house, my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And let me tell you something. That scripture that said, train them up while they are young. Can I tell y'all that? Parents, young parents, train them up while they are young. You know why I tell you to train them up while they're young? Can I say it? I lived it. Because when they get a little older, start smelling themselves, they're going to go off. The prodigal son did. They get older, they get a little older, getting influenced by their friends and all that kind of stuff like that, start smelling themselves. Praise God. They're going to go off. They want to experience life. But like that prodigal son, when he went out there and experienced life, what happened when he fell into life's difficulties? He fell back on what the parents had put in him as a young child. And he remembered, he said, you know something? Back in my father's house, man, them folks are eating good food now. I'm out here in this hog pen. He remembered, that's why I say, train them up. Train them up. Bring them to church as much as you could. Don't let them stay home looking at cartoons. Don't let them stay home looking at some sports event. Bring them to church. Let them look at all that stuff on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, then Saturday. But praise God on Sunday. Come on, bring them in so that they can learn something about this God that we serve. All right, that's enough. That's got them. Now, these next six don't hit you. They're going to know by discipline friendships. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we have to have discipline. Our friendships, the friends that we make, praise God, it's going to make a difference in our life. You know, we need, and I'm glad I got some young people here today, we need to commit ourselves to companions. I'm talking about friends who will build up our lives rather than tear them down. Oh, boy. God has a plan for every last one of our lives. And God has friendships that he wants to put us in contact with, because he know that it's those friendships, I'm talking about those godly friendships, that's going to help us not only grow spiritually, but it's going to be those friendships that's going to help us in carrying out God's plan. Can I do something? I want everybody to do it. Put your Bible down if you have one. Put your iPhone down if you got one. I'm going to show you how God put people in our lives to help us. But we got to recognize who those people are. Take your hand. God want to, with nobody else in your life, what do you hear? You hear nothing. All right. Let's let him put one person in your life that's going to help you spiritually. Take the other finger right there and do this. Everybody hear that?
Yes.
Everybody hear that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody hear that?
Yes, sir.
Let's take two friendships. Get two fingers.
Uh-huh. Even louder.
Let's take three friends. Sir. Three friendships.
Even louder.
Oh, boy. Let's take four. Do you see? Do you see what I'm trying to get at? There are some friendships that God want to put in your life. Praise God. That's going to make your life more meaningful, and that's going to allow you, praise God, to carry out the plan that he has for you. But if you don't recognize those friends, young people, we can't let any and everybody into our inner circle. Jesus had 12 disciples. One betrayed him, praise God. But even out of the 12 that he had three of them that was in his inner circle. When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he took Peter, James, and John. When he went into to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, he took Peter, James, and John. Why he left the other ones out, I don't know. Maybe they were doubters. But he had those folks that were in his close circle who did what? Enhance what he was doing. And brothers and sisters, we got to pay some attention. People want to look at those disciples. You can't say that you are a Christian if you're walking, you running around with a bunch of folk. Let me make sure I get this on a tape. You can't call yourself a Christian, got somebody that's going to try to enhance your Christian walk, help you to accomplish the plan that God has in your life. Every time they, every word that come out of their mouth, man, we need somebody that's going to correct us. Brother Cubbard, I need somebody that if I'm doing something wrong, they're going to look at me and say, Pastor, Reverend Martin, you are a friend of mine. And what you are doing is wrong. See, that's what friends will do. Acquaintances will let you do anything that you want to do. They're going to tell you about those disciplined friendships. Oh, boy. The next one, they're going to tell about disciplined finances. Look at this thing. This involves letting Jesus Christ control, look at these three words, y'all. Control our giving, our receiving, and our spending. It's a discipline. That's what I'm talking about. Discipline finances. When we allow Jesus to control it. Have you ever wondered why some people do everything to try to get every nickel that they can, make all try to schemes and do all of this stuff, and as soon as they get the money is gone. I don't care what they do. I don't care how they do it. And they think they're getting away. But God has his eyes on them. He's trying to make all the money in the world. But if you don't allow Jesus Christ to control your spending habits, he's not controlling your receiving. He's not controlling your giving. Praise God. As fast as you get it. Because you know what this, you know what this old fleshly man, the fleshly man wants everything, boy. He wants everything. Right, Mike? He wants everything. See a Lamborghini over there. You already got one. But they said, man, that Lamborghini over there is red. Yours is blue. You ain't letting God control your spending. God has given you a job. You've gone out and you have worked all week. And you have received some money. And guess what you do with it? going there. I know that he was going there. Yeah, I'm going to the boat. And folks gonna know that your life, whether or not your life, whether or not you have, are you living a disciplined life with your finances, by what you do. Man, I can't. I'm not gonna say that. I know this thing is being recorded. So we have to have the discipline. They're going to know what God, they're going to know about our discipline, our family life, friendship, finances. Praise God. And then they're going to know, again, I could go on with that one. Because if I go and I look at Matthew chapter 6, don't put that up there, but I'm just going to go ahead and mention Matthew chapter 6, that Sermon on the Mount, praise God, from verse 19 all the way down to verse 34, Jesus gives us three principles in there. Praise God of how he's going to take care of. First of all, he tells us to not to lay up for ourselves treasures upon this earth.
Man, bro.
Why? Because if you lay up for yourself treasures upon this earth, guess what's going to happen? He said a moth, corrupt, thieves, breakthrough, and they're going to steal. He ended that thing by saying, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart going to be. That's where your heart going to be. Man, if I'm wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the stuff that I got, guess where my heart going to be? It's going to be right there. And no ifs, ands, or buts about it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's where your heart going to be. Because that's what you're thinking every day. And the world is watching you. But not only did he tell us that, he also said, secondly, he said that he told them to be single-minded focused. In other words, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. You're going to either love one, hate the other one. Can't serve two masters, folks. The third thing that Jesus tells us in that scripture, in that Sermon on the Mount, third thing he says to us is that we got to always realize that he is going to be the one that's going to take care of us. He said, because the birds in the air don't even worry about where they're going to get food from. Birds are flying around, man, they're chirping. They don't know where they're going to go. And God allows a little worm to spill up, and that bird just swoop down and get him. Lilies of the field, they're here today and tomorrow they're gone. So he said, I don't want you to take no thought about what you're going to eat, what you're going to clothe yourself with, how you're going to house yourself. Because if I can take care of all of those things and I created you in my image, don't you know that I can take care of you? Somebody ain't seeing this. He said the only thing that you need to do is 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else that you want, it's going to be added unto you. It's going to be added. And that's what the word say. So we have to have disciplined finances. And next, I don't know which number this is. I'm just going on. Must have a disciplined tongue. That's number 10. Got to have a disciplined tongue. I'm not going to take this any longer. Y'all don't mind if I go until 1 o'clock, huh?
Go ahead.
Disciplined tongue. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, I got to have you to talk with me on this one. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
We must have
a
disciplined tongue. As believers, we can't just say anything that comes through our mind. can't do that. Can't do it before this world. Can't do it before your family. A disciplined believer will know how to control his or her tongue. Boy, I heard somebody clap in the middle. That should have been claps all over this place. I heard that song. You talk too much, you worry me so. Y'all know that song? You talk too much. Come on, somebody know that song. You talk about people that you don't know. You just talk. You just talk too much. You talking all the time, folks know that you're not a disciplined believer. I have said all the time, every church in this city, in this world, got some problems. If they don't have any problems, they better be watching what they're preaching. Because the devil is not going to let nothing. If it's of God, he ain't going to let it run smoothly. But I always tell the folks here at Second Union, you ought not be going out in the public talking about what's going on in Second Union. And I know we got some visitors. You shouldn't be going out of your church telling somebody about your church, what's going on in there. Don't you know that's doing nothing but one thing? I had somebody read it this morning. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and on. Somebody put that on there. Put that on that marquee. Y'all need to see this. Praise the name of the Lord. Because when you do things like that, all you are doing is sowing seeds of discourse, and God said that is an abomination to him. You sowing discord among the brethren. I didn't write this. The wisest man on the earth wrote that. It wasn't Jesus. Solomon wrote this. And look what God put on Solomon's heart to write. He says, these six things do the Lord hate. Oh, that didn't say hate. It said love. These six things do the Lord hate. Yes. Seven are an abomination unto him. Let's go through. Put verse 17 up there. A proud look. A lying tongue. That's two. Hands that shed innocent blood. Somebody said, well, I ain't never shed no innocent blood. Oh, yes, you have. You know, folks throw their little stuff and they hide their hands. A heart that devises. That means that somebody don't do nothing but think up a bunch of heart that devises wicked imaginations. You've seen some folks that don't, they can't get a lot. They just can't see nothing run peaceful. They just got to do something or say something to just mess up the whole apple cart. Feet that are swift to running. Never run track in their life. Never won a marathon. Never won a 100-yard dash, but brother, they know how to run. Mischief.